Lynn and I have just come back from Scotland, where we were visiting our daughter Hazel. Now, Hazel is a gifted preacher. And so I said to her, I'm preaching on Daniel. Have you got any tips for me about what to get from this passage? And she just looked at me and she said, I'm in it. I'm in the lion's den. That's all she said. Now, we just prayed for baby Evie, and baby Evie is Hazel's six-week-old baby. She gave birth on the 22nd of August, and after one day, Evie was put in intensive care in a children's specialist hospital on a ventilator. She's already had one heart operation. She requires at least one other, even more major than the one she's had. And she's very poorly. She's stable. And Hazel says she's in the lion's den. Hazel and her husband and her son Judah are living in a one-room place in the hospital, 150 miles from home, and they've been there 6 weeks. So she really feels in the lion's den and surrounded by difficulties, some of which she feels are insurmountable. I know, just looking around, there's people here this morning who are dealing with stuff that they might feel is insurmountable. Dealing with difficulties and problems that just seem so big. It's like being surrounded by lions. How does a passage like this help us to cope with what life throws at us? If you're very sharp, you may have noticed the reading finished before Daniel went in the lion's den. There's a number of reasons for that. One, I think reading a whole chapter is a bit indigestible. I think asking people to listen to a whole chapter in one sitting actually is too much. So I decided we'd only look at one half. And I thought, well, nothing happens in the second half. He survives. Nothing happens. It's not about Daniel does nothing. Daniel goes in the lion's den and comes out. End of story. So I thought what I wanted to focus on is the first half of the chapter and actually the rest of the book up to that point, which is telling us why Daniel has such faith. How can Daniel go into a lion's den and not fall apart emotionally, mentally, spiritually? What is it about Daniel that allowed him to do that? And we want to look at that so that we can be helped with when things are thrown at us. And they are, aren't they? I mean, I'm Hazel's father. I'm Evie's granddad. I'm in the lion's den. I'm surrounded by all of this. I'm travelling up and down to Scotland. How do we deal with stuff like that? And as I said, I look around and I know there's people here dealing with their own stuff. And I'm almost certain there's people here that I know nothing about the stuff they're dealing with, but they're dealing with their own stuff too. We all deal with stuff. And sometimes that stuff can be really, really challenging. And it can challenge our faith. How can we look at Daniel? And how can we take stuff from this such well-known story? I said nothing happens in the second half of that story because Daniel just goes in and comes out. But we know stuff happened, don't we? It's God's stuff that happened. It's not Daniel's stuff, it's God's stuff. And what Daniel has when he goes into that den of lions, he has faith in a big God. He has faith in a big God who can do big things. And somehow, that's the challenge for us, isn't it? That to have a picture of God, have an understanding of God, that we have a big God who does big things. And he doesn't always do things the way we want. We don't all get our prayers answered exactly the way we want, when we want. But what we find, and I know what Hazel is finding, and other people I've talked to are finding, is God is with them in the lion's den. God is there. They feel surrounded. They feel supported. And somebody said to me, they'd never felt closer to God in the middle of this. It wasn't Hazel. But somebody said to me, in the middle of big, big stuff going on, They were at the end of themselves, but they'd never felt closer to God. And I think that's what Daniel was like. Daniel was a man who had faith in this big God, so that when he was told, "You're going in the lion's den," he just left it to God. We don't know how he felt. He might have been terrified when he was told he was going in the lion's den. We're not told in the story how Daniel felt. He might have been very anxious. But what we know is, however he felt, he had this remarkable faith. We know how the story ended, but he didn't, did he? Here's Daniel told, "You're going in the lion's den." He didn't know he was going to come out. He didn't know the middle and the end of his story. We do, because it's written down. And whatever we're going through, sometimes we don't know if we're at the beginning, the middle, or near the end, do we? We're just going through stuff. We might be near the end, but we don't know we're near the end. We might be a long way from the end, but we don't know. But we need somehow to learn from the life of Daniel. How do we get to that point where we've got faith in a big God who does big things? One thing about Daniel we can learn is about his character and his integrity. We read in verse 4 of that chapter 6 that the chief ministers and the satraps, and you now know what they are, tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in the conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Wouldn't you love to be described like that? Wouldn't you love all the people who know you to say they could find no corruption in them, trustworthy, not corrupt, not negligent. He was hardworking. He had character. He was a man of integrity. What does it mean to be a man or a woman of integrity? It's one of my favourite words, integrity, because I think it means you can be trusted, basically. Doesn't mean you get everything right. People of integrity don't get everything right. But if you have integrity, you do what you say you'll do. You don't do what the things you say you won't do. You don't lie. You don't cheat. You don't cut corners. You can be trusted. And some of the songs we've been singing this morning about going through tough things is sometimes we go through tough things because we need to learn to trust God. We can only trust, in a sense, when we're surrounded by difficulty, because otherwise it doesn't require trust. It's like faith. If you could prove 100% that God existed, absolutely no doubt whatsoever, there would be no need for faith, would there? Because it's just provable and so on. Faith is the opposite of doubt. And trust and integrity is the opposite of worry and anxiety. Because if we meaningfully, intentionally is the word I was struggling for. There's a word much more in use these days than it used to be, and it's intentional. If you do things intentionally, it makes a difference. You can sleepwalk through life, just doing things naturally as they come to you, reacting to events. But if you do things intentionally, if intentionally you want to be someone of integrity, doesn't mean you'll always get it right, because we're human and we're weak and we're flawed. But if you do things intentionally, you're trying to be somebody who's trustworthy. You're trying to be somebody who doesn't lie, cheat, cut corners and whatever. And if you're doing that intentionally, I'm quite sure God blesses that, because he sees our heart. He knows we're weak and we won't always get it right, but he sees our heart. And God will bless us if we intentionally try to be people of integrity, as Daniel was. So Daniel had character. Daniel was a man people looked up to because he had character. And that character had been forged from a lifetime of trying to be a man of God, a man with integrity. Daniel was over 80, the scholars tell us, when he was put in the lion's den. He was taken to Babylon in exile as a young man, we're told. So his whole adult life was spent in a foreign country, surrounded by people who would have looked down on him. And yet here he was, a man of character, forged over these 80 years. And part of his character was he remembered the things that God had done for him in the past. How good are you and how good am I at remembering what God's done for us in the past? It's easy when we're in difficulty to think, God hasn't answered this prayer. Why didn't God do this? You can look back and think of things. Why didn't God heal that person? Why didn't God give me this? And we can forget all the things that God has done. Daniel, we're told, is a man who remembered God's faithfulness. In the Old Testament, time after time after time, we see the Israelites being told, remember what God did for you in the Passover, in the parting of the Red Sea, in providing food and water for you when you were wandering in the desert for 40 years. Time after time, they're told, remember this, remember this, remember this, because that's what builds faith. Remembering what God has already done builds faith and trust. But because we're flawed human beings, we often only think of the things that God hasn't done. And they become bigger and more of a focus than the things that God has done. Now, at this point, I was going to show a clip of a film. But actually, when I watched it back, it was filmed too dark and it was a bit mumbly. And I thought, no, that wouldn't be very good. But how many of you remember the Monty Python film where the phrase, what have the Romans ever done for us, occurs? Yeah? What have the Romans ever done for us? I mean, the scene was, in Jesus' day, there was a revolutionary party in Judea trying to whip up the locals against the Romans. And they were really trying to get some fervor. And so the leader says to the group in front of him, we've got to stand up against these Romans. I mean, they've just trampled all over us. What have the Romans ever done for us? And then a slight pause and somebody pipes up, sanitation? And the leader goes, okay, sanitation. What else have the Romans ever done for us? I mean, so it goes on. It's only about a two-minute clip. But in this two-minute clip, a whole list of things that the Romans had done in Judea come up. Fresh water in the aqueducts, roads, irrigation, medicine, public baths, education, wine, public order, peace. And after all of these interventions, the leader then says, yeah, well, all right. But apart from sanitation and fresh water and roads and irrigation and medicine and public baths and education and wine and public order and peace, what have the Romans ever done for us? And I wonder sometimes, are we like that with God? Because we don't intentionally remember the things that God has done for us. Could we do our own list of what have the Romans ever done for us and put God in there and say, what has God done for me in my lifetime? And if we did that in a thoughtful way, we'd end up with a list like that. What's God ever done for me? But sometimes, especially when we're in difficulties, the temptation is to be thinking about what God hasn't done for me. And when we look at Daniel, I think that's what we get from Daniel. Daniel is focused on what God's done for him. And he's seen God do some pretty good stuff. I mean, that's quite cool what God did in the furnace with those three guys, wasn't it? You know, Daniel's friends were thrown into a furnace and they walk out unharmed. That's pretty cool. So Daniel would have seen that and thought, wow, wow. At the very beginning of the story of Daniel, he goes on a vegetarian diet. And I don't want to offend any vegetarians, but certainly in the culture of that day, that would have been seen as, oh, he won't be able to grow strong. If he only eats vegetables, you know, he's going to be a weakling. And of course, in the story, with his vegetarian diet, Daniel actually is bigger and stronger than any of the others. And he attributes that to God. He's seen God at work in his life. Where have I seen God at work in our lives? Can we remember those things so that we know we have a big God who can do big things? Scripture is full of stories where God actually deals with things like that. You know, we see stories where there's healings, and we see stories where people go out of furnaces unhurt and lions' dens. But Scripture also has stories where things like that don't happen, where people aren't healed, where people actually come to a sticky end. A lot of the disciples were martyred. In our own lives, we might know people who are lovely, lovely Christian folk who have really tough lives and things seem to go wrong all the time. God doesn't always do what we want him to do. Doesn't always behave in ways that we think he ought to. But we have to stay strong. We have to say that despite my not understanding why God does or doesn't do things, he's God. He's a great God. And he has done enough for me to say, I will have faith and I will have trust in my God. Another thing that Daniel did, and we're told in verse 10 of chapter 6, is pray. Regularly. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room with the windows open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. He habitually prayed. It was what he normally did. He communicated with God. It's a really vital habit that we get into, prayer, because it's such an easy habit to get out of, especially when things are going well. If when things are going well, we stop praying, we stop reading our Bible, we stop going to church because all is well, when things do hit us, we're not equipped to deal with them. What equips us to deal with being in the lion's den is regular communication with God through prayer, Bible reading, church, fellowship group, whatever it is. That's building the foundations for us because we're communicating with God for when the tough days come. If we only start praying when the tough days come, we're not really equipped in the same way. That's not to say God wouldn't hear our prayers, but we wouldn't be equipped. God does what God does, but us dealing with it on a human level would be more difficult if we're not in the habit of praying. Particularly if we are in the habit of praying when we do pray, the way Jesus taught us to pray, which focuses on God first before we ask for anything. And my goodness me, was I challenged when I prepared this bit of the sermon, because I ask for things. I go to God and say, God, help. God, please. God. The Lord's Prayer is a pattern of prayer, says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And then we ask for things. Give us today our daily bread. But it starts with God. And we have to start with God. We have to come and say to God, you are God and I am not. And I come to you in humility and I worship you and I remember all the wonderful things you've done. And I want your kingdom here on earth. And we focus on God and God's will. And then we ask for things. That was the pattern that Jesus gave us. And I certainly am very poor on keeping to that pattern. But if we focus on God, we have a relationship that then holds us in good stead when life gets hard. I think one of the hardest challenges for me when I was looking at Daniel was one you would have looked at a few weeks ago in the furnace. Chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18 say this. The three friends of Daniel say, If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. But even if he doesn't, we want your majesty to know we will not serve your gods. That's a challenge, isn't it? Even if he doesn't. My God can save me, but even if he doesn't, it won't diminish my faith. Wow. That's hard, isn't it? That is hard. It's a challenge. My God can save me, but even if he doesn't, it won't affect my faith. So summing up Daniel, He went into that lion's den as a man of integrity and a man who communicated directly with God and remembered God's faithfulness in the past. If we communicate with God regularly, if we remember what God has done in the past, maybe our faith and our trust in God could grow like Daniel's. If our lifestyle is one where we're intentionally trying to be people of integrity, maybe our character will grow so that we can trust and have faith in God. My daughter Hazel and her husband Dave, they have an unwavering faith in God. They feel surrounded by love and compassion. And I want to thank the people in this church who I know are praying for Evie and for Hazel and Dave. They feel surrounded by love and compassion. But just like Daniel, they don't know the beginning, middle, and end of the story. They just know what they're in right now. But being surrounded by that love and compassion is so helpful. And they know that God is with them in all that they're going through and experiencing. And that's a trust that each one of us can have. We have a God who's a big God who can do big things. Sometimes I think our perception of God is a slot machine. We put a request in there and it comes out the bottom. Or we think God isn't interested in us because we're insignificant. Or we think God's not answered prayers in the past for me, so why is he going to do it now? We need to get away from our small view of God. God is a big God, and he can do big things, and he does do big things. If only we could grow into people with the faith and trust of Daniel. If we intentionally want to do that, God will help. We just have to turn towards God and say, this is what we want, and God will help. When we turn to him, he gives us the strength. He gives us the peace. He gives us whatever it is. And when you think in this story of Daniel, at the end of that chapter 6, the king issues a decree to all his people, and he says things in it that Christians today, it could be a hymn or a song. This is a pagan king, and he says, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. That's the God we worship. That's the God we can have faith and trust in. Let's pray. Father God, help us this morning to see you as you are, not as we see you through our lens. Help us, Lord, to see what a majestic and awesome God you are, what you can do and who you are. And help us, Lord, to come in humility and kneel at your feet. Help us to worship you, Lord. Jesus told us, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be given unto you. Help us, Lord, to do that, to seek your will, for your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And then, Lord, help us to come to you with our petitions and requests. Strengthen us for the days ahead. Lord, I pray you'll be with anyone here this morning who feels they're in the lion's den. Lord, just bring peace. Bring your peace that passes understanding into the hearts and minds of anybody who's feeling surrounded by difficulties. Bring healing, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.